Philippians chapter 3. Last week we honed in on the verse number 14. I press, everyone say I pressed, toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at verses 15 and 16, maybe just 15, we'll see. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray that you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I pray for those in the building, those tuning in. Might all of us get something from your word that would help us be better Christians for you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. How to keep from getting stuck. Let's all say that together. How to keep from getting stuck. Say it again. How to keep from getting stuck. Now, stuck has become the normal among too many Christians. All too common. And by the way, lest we sound dismissive, if you're not doing everything you can not to get stuck, rest assured you will get stuck. Because there's so much stuff out there. Life is tough. I've talked to so many people over this pandemic, hurting people, wounded people, weary people, disillusioned people, confused people. Life is rough. It's hard to know who you can trust. It's hard to know what you can do. It's hard to know where to find help. It's hard to know what exactly you should be concentrating on. It's hard to prioritize. It's hard to balance. Listen to me. The Christian life is a difficult life to live when you're trying to live it on your own. But how many of you believe that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? How many believe that? And so we need the Lord. And Paul is teaching us how he managed not to get stuck. Let's remember, when I say Paul didn't get stuck, I don't mean Paul was perfect. If you've ever met a perfect person, you met a liar. Okay? Nobody's perfect. But we ought to be progressing. And so Paul, when I say Paul didn't get stuck, when I say the trajectory of Paul was moving upward continuously, that he didn't quit, he didn't falter, he didn't fail. I don't mean that Paul was perfect. I mean Paul was progressing. We're never going to be perfect. But listen to me, a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. What makes him just is not that he falls. What makes him just is that he gets back up again. We look at David in the book of 2 Samuel, and we see him commit that egregious sin, the sin of adultery and lusting and murder. And continuing in that sin, Psalm 51, he gets right with God. Do you realize Acts chapter 13, David is called a man after God's own heart? This is after his sin. How could God call David a man after his own heart? Because his heart was right, he got right. Amen. And so listen, when you fail and when you mess up, don't wallow in your failures. And don't let the devil remind you of your failures. Don't let your past define you. You get up and find out that God can rewrite your past and give you a future that is greater than your imagination. Listen, God's going to do his part, but you got to do yours too. So this is Paul, spiritual discernment, sensible disownment, supreme desire, sanctified dissatisfaction, specialized devotion, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Jesus laid his hands on me for a purpose. Now I'm going to lay my hand on that purpose. That's intentional. That's intentional. My mom used to say to us all the time, nothing fixes itself. Nothing fixes itself. Listen to me, Christian. If you're going to be a good Christian for God, you're going to do it on purpose. Single-minded direction. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Strong determination last week. I press toward the mark. Listen to me. You can't be a casual Christian. You can't be a lazy Christian. You can't be a lackadaisical Christian. You can't be a haphazard Christian. You can't be a ho-hum Christian. Listen, you're going to do something for God. And it's befitting that we're in the middle of the Olympics that Dietta alluded to. Let me tell you something. You can't even get to the Olympics unless you press, much less win. Press toward the mark. You look at those runners as they're leaning. Their head is leaning. Their body is leaning. Their eyes are looking. You've got to press toward the mark. toward the mark. Listen to me. Jesus is at the end of that mark. The high calling is there. There's a person there. There's a prize there. Amen. There's a purpose for pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Everything he's reserved for me, everything he's designed for me, everything he's ordained for me. I don't know about you. I don't want to spend my life being everything everybody wants me to be or even everything I want to be. I want to be what God wants me to be. Fulfillment. Listen to me. If you're going to make it back to the bed tonight, and most of us will, the problem in life is that most people will settle for getting out of the bed and making it back to the bed. The question is, what did you do in between stops? How can you pillow your head? If you sleep 5 hours or you sleep 10 hours, how can you wake up fulfilled? How can you go through life and say, I know that I've got to fight the devil. I know that I've got to battle the flesh. I know that I've got to deal with the world. I know that there are challenges. If you ever meet anybody who says, I'm not going through any challenges. Oh my goodness, where are you living? I know what you're thinking. I can't wait till I retire. No more challenges. Oh, they'll find you. Go retire on some exotic island. Give nobody your name. Sign up for the witness protection plan. Take an alias. Change your whole presentation and get a whole new face and get a new social security number, a new ID. I'm telling you something. People may not find you. Your best friends may not find you. Your family may not find you. But challenges will find you. Challenges will, speaking of challenges, will find you. Sometimes I get to getting excited, talk too fast. I'd slow down a little bit. You know, challenges make us stronger. I said challenges make us stronger. Tribulation worketh patience. Stop praying for patience. Why? Because you got to have tribulation to get it. Some of you said, thank you. I'll mark that off my prayer list right now. I don't need patience that bad. Well, God's taught me a lot of patience. And I'm not naturally patient. Men are not naturally patient. Patience is the virtue, catch it if you can. Seldom found in a woman, never found in a man. But God will teach you patience. You know how he teaches you? Because when you're going through tribulation, you don't have a choice. You've got to wait on the Lord. You've got to wait on the Lord. A preacher friend of mine sent me something that I've looked at and studied before about eagles, that as they get older in life, they begin to shed or molt their wings, and they put on new wings, and that the molting process typically happens in a valley. And while they're molting, and some of them don't survive that molting process where they shed and put on new wings, they have to depend on other eagles to feed them in that valley, because in that moment they cannot get their own food. My God has taught me in the valley how I can depend on other people. And when you can't go get your food, God will send people with food for you. You begin to appreciate God, appreciate your family. And have a bigger burden for those that are going through difficulty. I can't tell. I talked to a preacher for seems like 30 minutes the other night about mental illness and how long he's been on medication. And he said, you know what? Until you really get hurt, you can never truly appreciate the love of God. He said, now I appreciate God so much more. There's so many people going through something, losing people and going through trials and going through difficulties. None of this stuff's in my notes. I'm just freestyling, all right? The Holy Spirit is leading, but I'm just burdened about the body of Christ, because you're not going to avoid valleys in the Christian life. Just make sure you're connected to the right source in the valley. And if he's God on the mountaintop, he's God in the valley. Now, let me give you something else very quickly. I want to look at verse 15 just briefly today, what I call steadfast discipline. Let us, the third word in verse number 15, let us what? Come on, let us what? Whenever you see therefore, you find out what is therefore. This is a reference to what has been said up to this point. Now he's saying everything I said in verse 7 through 14, everything I talked about, everything I just reviewed, everything I told you about my own life. He said, let us therefore. And then notice the terminology in scripture. As many as be what? Perfect. Now, if you're taking notes in your Bible or in your margin or in your notebook, write down that that word perfect in scripture is not referring to flawless or sinless. It would be a simple contradiction for Paul to say anybody that's perfect after he just said a few verses, not as though I'd already attained. The word perfect there is the word for complete or mature. Write down in your notes, if you're taking notes, spiritual maturity. As many as be perfect. Look here just at your pastor for just a moment. The goal for God, for every believer, is spiritual maturity. Let me say that again. The goal of God for every believer is spiritual maturity. Now, we understand in the human life that the only way you mature is through growth. Now, look at me just a moment. Are you growing? Are you growing? Are you growing? As a pastor, I spend a great deal of time in my life working hard and challenging myself as a leader, not just to build a facility that's impressive or to build a congregation that's numerically ascending, but one of the biggest challenges as a pastor is to build people. I've known a lot of guys could put together a sermon, but they couldn't put together a person. At Crossroads Baptist Church, I want my preaching, I want my life, I want my teaching, I want my explanation, I want my exhortation, I want my example to build up people. What a joy it is to look around an auditorium on a Sunday morning and look at some people and say, I remember when they got here. I remember when they walked the aisle. I remember when I baptized them. I remember when they came to the altar. I remember when they surrendered to preach. I remember when they started soul winning. I remember when they enrolled in Bible college. I remember when they met their significant other. I remember when they came to marital counseling. I remember when they sang in the choir. I remember when they sang a solo. I remember when they started singing more soul. Now he's leading the choir. Now he's singing more. Now he's a deacon. Now she's a ministry leader. I remember when they were getting taught how to soul win. Now they're teaching other people how to. God didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. If that were the only reason, you'd have gone straight to heaven when you got saved. He wants you to grow. Years ago, our theme was grow up to him in all things. How much does God want me to grow? Grow up until I am the image of Christ. So, pastor, that means I can never take off. Spiritual maturity. Write down this. A scriptural mindset. As many as be perfect. Now, he's writing this to all the spiritually mature people. If you intend to stay immature for the rest of your Christian life, you can go ahead and go to sleep during this verse. Because it will be impossible for you to live out Philippians 3 verses 7 through 14 without spiritual maturity. It would be like telling an infant to drive a car. Telling a baby to go do a job. Now, if we don't expect our children to do what we do at 5 when we're 30, how in the world do we expect Christians to do what we do if they're not spiritually mature? And how can you expect to live out this Bible if you're not growing in the Lord? Well, pastor, I don't know how to grow. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk that ye may grow thereby. You're going to grow from this book. There's a reason why we open the Bible every time we have church, and we don't just have hoopla, and we don't just shout, and we don't just run around try to catch the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to me. There's a reason why this is not a stadium. There's a reason why this is not a karaoke bar. There's a reason why we are Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church. Now, listen to me now. There are a lot of things that you can get in a lot of places, a lot of organizations, but I hope when you come here, you get a mouthful, a bellyful, a heartful, a mindful of the precious Word of God, so that long after you leave this building, the Holy Spirit has something to bring to your remembrance. Long after you leave this building, when you're in traffic, when you're on the job, when you're criticized, when you're ridiculed, when you're laughed at, when you're struggling, when you're broke, when you lose your job, when you're waiting for the doctor diagnosis, when you're going through a valley, when you go through a troublesome storm, that the Bible can come back to your mind and remind you that God is not a liar. He keeps his promises, that the Word is alive, that the Holy Spirit is powerful, and that God does not change. That's better than a stress ball. Better than a poem, better than a friend's advice, better than a round of golf, better than a Red Bull, better than a Starbucks coffee. There's something sustainable and true and supernatural about the precious Word of God. If you're not growing, check your relationship with the book. Well, pastor, I'm just not a spiritual giant. I can't get up and read all that Bible every morning. I don't get up and read the Bible because I'm a spiritual giant. I get up and read the Bible because I'm a spiritual chump. And I need the Bible to make sure that in my flesh, I don't end up in a ditch and wreck other people's lives. We don't read because we're great. We read because we're not great, and we need a great God to live through us. Whew. Amen. So you've got to live by a scriptural mindset. As many, for every person in this church that wants to be spiritual mature and is spiritual mature, you must live by a scriptural mindset. Notice what the verse says. Be thus minded. What do you mean thus minded? Everything I talked about. That I may know Christ. Thus minded. That I'm not attained. Thus minded. Neither were already perfect. Thus minded. Apprehend that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Thus minded. Pressing toward the mark. Thus minded. Doing everything I can to live for God. Let every single believer. Why are there divisions in church? Because everybody's trying to do their own thing and not trying to do God's thing. Notice the scriptural mindset. Then notice the specific misunderstandings. I'm almost done. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded. Specific misunderstandings. So he spent all these verses saying, this is what the Christian life needs to look like if your trajectory has a continuum of going upward. Then he says, everybody agrees with that? Live by the Bible. Well, it's 2021. The world is crazy. Live by the Bible. Well, marriages are ending in divorce. Live by the Bible. Well, immorality is on every hand. Live by the Bible. Where they're legislating laws that aren't contrary, that are contrary to what we believe as believers. You live by the Bible. Well, I'm sick of how people are. Then you be different and live by the Bible. But if you're otherwise minded, if you don't see things the way spiritual maturity says you should, then notice the sovereign manifestation. This is our close. God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, this is helpful for me. Maybe you just think, well, just a bunch of words and go ahead and shut this thing down. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you where we struggle as believers. We struggle functioning properly with people with whom we disagree. Did you hear that grunt? Let me say it again. We struggle functioning properly with people with whom we disagree. And by the way, who in the world do you agree with all the time? Well, we're married because we agree on everything. You agree to lie about your disagreements? How can a man and woman agree on everything? It's impossible. But here's what Paul is saying. We don't have to agree on everything to function properly in the body of Christ. We just have to agree on the word of God. And when we run into those with whom we don't agree, here's what we do. Leave it up to God to reveal it to them. Now, this helps me. Because the Bible tells us the man of God must not strive. The longer I live, the longer I pastor, the longer I'm a man, the longer I've come out of this stage of my life and I'm in this valley right now. You know what God has taught me? Don't strive with people. Now, strive in your Christian life, but don't strive. I can't make anybody be a good Christian. I can't make anybody see things the Bible. Now, give them the Bible. Teach them the Bible. Lift up the Bible. But you know what? At the end of the day, when people have misunderstandings about where they stand with the Word of God, guess what Paul said? I'm confident God, through the person of the Holy Spirit, will reveal it to you. And how many of you can admit there were times you didn't agree with God, but over the process that you won't discuss right now, but over the process, God brought you along to tell you eventually, one way or another, you're going to agree with me. And doesn't he know how to do it? Sometimes it's the woodshed. Sometimes it's just a talk. Sometimes it's a trial. Doesn't God have, you know, when you're a kid, you think your parents are crazy. And then you become an adult and you go crazy. When you're an employee, you think your boss is crazy and then you start handling people. And then you're like, oh my goodness, I see why. Have any of you ever been promoted and asked to go back down where you were after you had to raise your hand? Come on. See there? There go hands. You know what you found out? I'd rather work for somebody, get off and go home, than have people work for me. They get off and I'm still here. Don't be so hard on people in charge. Don't be so critical of people in authority. It ain't easy dealing with you. It's not easy being a parent. It's not easy being a pastor. It's not easy being a boss. Well, you don't have a big company. You got 3 employees. Yeah, that equals about 27 personalities. And here's what you're going to have to do when you're in charge. Give people the truth and then say, God, you got to change them. You got to work in their hearts. Don't pray, God, beat them up. Oh, I pray, God, just shake them up. Don't do that. Just pray, God, reveal yourself to them. And when your patience runs thin, recall how long it took you to learn. You know what, God? Stubborn people annoy me probably because I is one of them. By the grace of God, with a strict discipline, we can keep on going. Father, we love you, and we bless your name. Heads bowed, eyes closed.